Welcome to the Community Conversations podcast, where we believe that world transformation begins with gospel transformation, and gospel transformation begins with discovering the truth about who God is and who you are. And it starts right now.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Community Conversations podcast. My name is Brian Hess, and I'm here once again with the one and only Noah Chant.
How are you?
Great.
Doing good.
Great. You doing all right?
Yeah, great. It's getting cold outside. Super happy about that.
We've had some chilly mornings.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
It's been really nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really enjoyed that. It was like 52 this morning. I sat on my back patio and just soaked in the presence of God in the cold.
That's perfect.
It's glorious.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And so as of today, recording, we just had our very first service yesterday in the new building. And it was so fun.
Oh, man. It was incredible. It was, we've kind of been using these like the terminology of beta, just trying to get some stuff like figured out before the 22nd when we have our grand opening service. But yeah, it felt incredible in there. It really did. It just felt incredible. It's beautiful on one, you know, on one piece of it. But the other piece of that really is that it's just, there's just something about it. And it was just an incredible night. So it's excited to see our family so excited and so ready to be in there. And so.
Yeah. People really were excited.
Yeah. It was just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I was super, just great. It was just, that's all I know to say.
Yeah.
It was really great. I was trying to like pray and about it and be thankful. And it's like, I don't really know how to have the words.
Yeah. It's still, I don't know if this is true for you. There's still a part that's like doesn't feel like ours yet.
Right.
And I remember even like when Katie and I moved into this house, it was like a couple weeks before it felt like this is my home.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. No, I'm totally get you. You walk in. Well, and too, like when you've kind of been where we are, you're like, this is too nice. You know what I mean? For what we got going on here.
Yeah. All the toilets work and everything.
Yeah, super clean.
Yep.
It's just been fantastic too. It does feel a little like surreal, and we obviously still have some stuff to do, and so it's going to be weird, I think, for a little while, maybe for a month or two, until it kind of becomes just the norm for us.
Yeah. Yeah, I was actually, we were driving there, and I had to like actively remind myself, like, I'm going to have to turn.
Right.
Because, and I don't know if you've ever done this, but there have been times where Katie and I have moved in the past, and just out of habit, I would drive to an old place we've lived.
Sure.
And you're on your way, and it's like, oh my gosh,
I don't even know
where I'm going.
Well, it happened. I mean, total shout out to Mackenzie Barton, but she pulled into the old church and was like, wait a minute, where's all the cars?
Turns out. I love that.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah, it happens all the time. Like, it takes you a minute, and it's so close to my house.
Yeah.
That it's almost odd, and I almost pass it a couple times because I'm like, especially on Sunday, if I'm thinking and getting ready and in the zone, it's like I'm getting ready and I'm like, oh wait, there it is, and you gotta like turn real fast because it's such a quick, I can get there in like 4.5 minutes if that,
right?
It just depends on traffic.
Yeah,
I could be there in a minute if there was no traffic anywhere. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It's fun, man.
It was fun. It was fun. We're gearing up for the 22nd, which will be our official launch.
Yes.
Grand opening.
Yeah. Big service. I'm really excited. I really believe it's just going to be a really big deal.
Yeah, I do too. And it's fun. You know, we've got just different friends from around coming into town.
Yeah.
Different people, it seems like, kind of keep popping in. And just
a little you get a text here, a text there. And so that's really exciting too, I think, just to see the different.
Yeah.
I think we've got a lot of people just from different parts of our lives and different parts of our story, even kind of, convening together on this moment, which I think will be a real big deal.
Yeah, it's going to be fun just to have just a night of celebration.
Yeah, I know. I can't wait.
Yeah, it'll be good. And with that, and this will kind of lead into what we wanted to talk about on this podcast anyways, with having this new space, because, we've kind of considered ourselves in a little bit of like a pilgrimage, nomadic, we've talked about that up until now. And as we kind of settled into like fully realizing that this really is like a place for us to call home and to let some roots go down, that with that, there does come, I think, a different sense of responsibility for that space.
Mm-hmm.
I'll even go back to thinking like Katie and I, we've been married for 10 years, and this is like the seventh or eighth place we've lived. So we've moved a lot. We've rented.
Wow. I don't think I realized that.
We've moved all around the kind of greater Chattanooga area for a while. And, you know, we always rented, and, you know, renting, it never really felt like, you know,
it's not your home.
Not only is it not our home, but it was like, it's hard to really care for a space. In a sense, mm-hmm. that's not really
it's
yours.
It's not yours, yeah.
You know, and so once we actually moved into this house, it's like we can paint any color we want. We don't have to ask anybody's permission.
Yeah,
like,
put a hole here or a wall there.
Hang anything I want to. And not only are you able to kind of do what you want in that space, but there comes this level of responsibility like, whoa, like this is mine.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to care for this place. Right. I'm going to take care of it, and I'm going to.
Yeah. Big time, man. Yeah. And I'm with you. It's, it changes a little bit. I think how, you know, even for myself, I've even felt a little bit of the gravity of the weight of responsibility of leading a family. Not that I didn't have that before, but kind of grow a little bit in the sense of like, we have a permanency now in our city. And so because of that, you realize like there's more on your shoulders. It's not a bad thing. It's an exciting thing, but it is a weight, you know, and you've got to, I think everyone should, you know, feel a little bit of, oh, this is something now, you know, for real.
Yeah. Yeah. We, you know, we feel maybe a little bit less like a new church plant.
Right.
And we feel like, oh, this is a real.
Yeah, because, you know, yeah, it's like the term we've used. We're not really relaunching in any way.
Right.
But we are like setting roots into our city and settling into what we're doing and who we are and all those things. And I think those are always, you know, it's like you said, if you move into a home or even like with big like anniversaries, like, you know, in a marriage, like a 10 year something, it's always a good moment to step back and check your buy-in and your responsibility that you're taking within what you're in.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure. I do. One of the things I wanted to ask you, so I'd love to know how, from your perspective, how does the sense of community and family that we've been actively building and cultivating, you know, here, how do you view that, will take root or take effect in any kind of different way in this new space than maybe we've seen. And I'll maybe give you an example. So I think about our house, and sometimes Katie and I will have people over, and it's the first time we've ever had them over. And so when somebody comes to our house and it's the first time, I'm not going to say, hey, would you do the dishes or would you make dinner? Mm-hmm. If you're coming into our house, we're going to serve you. We're going to take care of you, you know? Yeah. Right. But versus like a you and Bailey, if you came, I'd have no problem saying, hey, would you throw that away? Or would you, you know, and especially say my brother comes over, you know, I've got no problem. Yeah. No problem. If he starts washing the dishes, like, I'm not going to be weirded out by that, you know?
Yeah.
And so there does come this reality that I think the more you settle into this being your place, your family, that there does come, I think, with that an added responsibility with caring for the house.
Yeah, I think it ties into one of the things that is lacking overall is people's genuine call to a family.
Mm.
And I think like you should be genuinely called to the people group you're yoking yourself to. And it's out of that I think you go, okay, like I've got to be a part of this.
Okay.
I have to do this thing with these people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like that, I think that responsibility plays out into how we view ourselves. Like I talked about this a couple weeks ago, but Jesus says, when two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst, which means that as more people gather around him, the more the manifest presence of him becomes aware.
Hmm.
And so what that means is that you actually play a vital role in the manifest presence of God coming. Does that mean he can't come without you? No.
Right.
He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants.
Mm-hmm.
But he wants to be hosted well.
Sure.
And I think like there comes a moment where you have to ask the question, okay, if this is where the Lord has me, what does that fully mean? And look at that responsibility and what that is and how you value that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the same thing that adults try to get to their kids and especially their teenagers of like, hey, like, you're a part of this family, whether you like it or not, like me and your mom had you.
Yeah.
Hate it for you, but like, for all this to, like, for us to be a family, it means we flow in this direction. Mm-hmm. And we operate and think this way. And I think it's one of the biggest problems that comes from people. Like, they hear the messages, they hear the gospel, they hear the things, and they think, okay, like, this is good, this is a change. And when they don't change, they get upset, but there's oftentimes a lack of immersion.
Sure.
And people have commitment, but not immersion, often. Like, commitment is the place where I go, like, yeah, like, this is where I'm at. Immersion is where I become a part of the DNA of it.
Sure.
So, like, commitment is like, yeah, like commitment is the place where you'd go, like, that's where I call home.
Sure.
That's where I go to church.
Yeah.
Immersion is when you are connected to a family intimately where without you, it's not the same.
Sure.
Like, there are, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I would feel like we're at a size where I feel when people are not in the room. Mm-hmm. And it's not because I just want the room full, but it's because I know whatever we're going to encounter tonight, it's for everyone there. And what can often be frustrating and upsetting is when we go somewhere that not everybody gets the taste for a night.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And I think immersion is the place where a family is not a family without you. Mm-hmm. And that's what the difference of immersion, I think, in community. And I think when you move into a building like this, you have to become aware of the responsibility of how much you've immersed yourself, which means that people are looking for you to be there.
Yeah.
Just like your wife is at night expecting you to come home and be in bed every night with her.
Yeah.
Like, we want you here. Like, you know, this house is not the same. You know what it's like when, like, yeah. dad's gone or mom's gone and, you know, 50% of the family's functioning. And then when both the parents are back home from a vacation or something, you're like, everything's a little freer. Mm-hmm. And so there's a reality that, like, it's not the same without everyone. And it's not, you're not trying to be, like, overly cheesy. Like, it's not the same without you. But, like, there is somewhat of a truth to the place of, like, man, when you have dedicated yourself to a family, you matter.
Yeah.
You matter.
Yeah.
And you have to revisit often that responsibility.
That is such a good way of looking at it. And, you know, I'm thinking, and I love that analogy, too, of even just, like, looking at the family. Like, sometimes there'll be days where Katie and I will bring the girls to my parents' house for a couple hours or something, yeah. and we'll be at the house, and it's like... It's like, this place just isn't the same.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
I do know. Yeah, we do it. We drop Benjamin off on Thursdays so, like, Bailey can get stuff done around the house. And, like, it's great because she doesn't have a baby. As soon as he's gone, we're like, oh, this is awful. Like, this house is dead.
Right.
You know?
Yep. And so, you know, there's this element where you're right. It's moving. It's getting people to move past this is the church I attend into this is my church.
Right.
And I think that is, and you're right, I think it's that immersion
yeah.
that people are missing. And it's hard because culturally speaking, I think culturally speaking and generally speaking, there are probably more people who have a church that they attend than there are people who say, like, this is mine.
Right, yeah. Well, and as we've become more Sunday-centric and more personality-driven, that will happen.
Yeah, sure.
Because, like, you know, you go, like, most times people would say, like, this pastor's church, this pastor's church, this pastor's church. Mm-hmm. And so you know it by the pastor, you know what I mean? And so I think, yeah, it's hard for people to understand. And here's the thing. I don't think the fact that they're feeling that is invalid because other churches have used that manipulation to get you in the door, to get you giving, to get you serving, and to get your butt in a seat. So I don't think the fact sure. that they feel that can be icky is wrong either. Mm-hmm. And I think oftentimes a lot of people deal with feeling like, I agree with you, but it's been so icky before, I don't like that. Mm-hmm. And right. I get that, and I think it's okay to feel that. Yep. You've got to work through that. You need to get on the other side of it. But it's okay to have that thought process and kind of work through those emotions and ways of thinking. And I think that's why we're a lot of where we are is the church uses truth, and emotionalism and mm-hmm. bends it to its will to get the things out of you it wants.
Sure.
And that's not okay either. But there is a reality that it's not the same without you if it's your church.
Right. Yeah.
You are an aspect of what we're trying to do. You're part of the body, as Paul would say.
Yeah.
You know?
Looking for the perfect Airbnb getaway? Look no further than Maggie's Place. your ticket to an unforgettable stay in Sevierville, Tennessee. Nestled in the heart of the stunning Smoky Mountains, Maggie's Place is not just an Airbnb, it's an experience you won't want to miss. This charming 3-bedroom, 2.5-bath townhome offers all the comforts of home with a touch of Tennessee charm. Imagine waking up to the serene beauty of the mountains, sipping your morning coffee on the porch, and planning your day of adventures in the Smokies. And the best part is, Maggie's Place is just minutes away from all the attractions, dining, and entertainment that Sevierville has to offer, not to mention close to Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg. Ready to make your Smoky Mountain dreams come true? Visit Maggie's Place on Airbnb today to book your stay and start creating unforgettable memories. For more information, contact Kim Balistrieri at 770-548-0902.
And that's, as a church leader, that's a really interesting like tension to live in,
yeah.
Knowing that it's actually good for you to be a part of a family, to be committed, to be immersed, and to serve. It's actually good for you.
Yes.
The church benefits, yeah, but it's actually good for you too.
I know.
So it's like, it's living in the tension of that's true, but also I don't want, like, I want to find a way that your involvement and your commitment is mutually beneficial and that it's not all for me.
Right.
You know?
Right. And the thing is, like, I think that's true on both sides of that aisle, though, because there's a truth that, like, yes, I get paid to speak, but also it's good for you because I speak the gospel, not just me, but pastors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it doesn't just go on the side of the congregant. It also goes on the side of the leader.
Sure.
Everybody has this, like, double win. But, yeah, it's been so perverted that people can kind of get the, like a little sense of the ick from it. And that's, I don't think that's, you know, not valid, but we have to find a way to see the church as our place that without us, because it wouldn't function.
Right.
Like no one we couldn't do stuff for your children if there wasn't children's workers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we couldn't, you know what I mean? Like you know, we couldn't really go after what we're going after. Like our hope is to change the city into looking like Jesus. And the reality is that just takes people.
Right.
It's just the unfortunate reality. It can happen with a few, and it can start with one like Paul. Mm-hmm. It can start with one.
Yeah.
But it didn't leave or end with one. Mm-hmm. And it does take a certain amount of people to see a community look different that and change enough to change a city and a region and a culture locally.
Yeah.
That's just an ever-present reality.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's not to, and for us, we always talk about, that's not to make everyone a part of BeLove, but it is to make everyone a part of the kingdom.
Right.
Sometimes that means you're not at BeLove, but at least hopefully someone at BeLove has influenced you enough that you see the value of the kingdom.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that takes your immersion here so that you can go immerse other people out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other piece of it.
Right.
Is you, the more you immerse yourself internally in the family of God, the more you often see people who can immerse themselves externally into the world for greater good.
Mm-hmm.
They play off of each other. It's like a power cable.
Right.
You know what I mean? And a lot of people don't see that, but it does. That's kind of how it works. It's how it's worked for thousands of years.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm a Hess, and there's a few things that come with that.
Right.
That, like, that you can see. I mean, you look at my parents, I've got 3 older siblings, and if you look at all of us, there are certain things that have trickled down. That's like, this is the Hess way.
Right.
And that's true of me everywhere I go.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think that same thing applies to where, like, you can look at it from my physical earthly family, but also from a kingdom family perspective, that there's a kingdom way, and there's a way that Jesus did things. And
right.
That the more we immerse ourselves and become part of that family, the ways that we learn to do things and live and function, that carries everywhere we go.
Well, dude, I've had more conversations with, like, wait staff about the Lord because we're just friendly. Like, me and Bailey just try to be kind.
Yeah.
Like, waiting must suck. It must be a real sucky job, to be honest.
Yeah. Sure.
And so, like, you being hateful doesn't make it any better.
Mm-hmm.
You being overly critical doesn't make it any better. And we've had more, like, there are people at restaurants that know, like, a group of us as the BeLove people.
Sure.
Because of how we treat the waiter when mm-hmm. we get them, mm-hmm. the way we take care of them, like with tipping, the way we're kind to them. And so like that doesn't take much, but it is a be love way.
Yeah.
And like that stuff changes the way people see things and think and how their thoughts work. Like it changes you.
Yeah.
And people understand how much that's a reality of what this is, mm-hmm. this whole journey.
Yeah.
And that requires your ability to have responsibility within a community mm-hmm. and see responsibility.
Yeah. There was this time, you saying that reminded me of a story. There was this time Katie and I went to Target and we were returning something and we were just kind of standing there waiting, and we get up to the little desk and it's our turn, and we had like the most normal basic conversation yeah. we've ever had. We didn't do anything overly kind. Mm-hmm. We weren't even actively thinking, honestly. We were just like just there to do our business, you know, return. And and afterward, the person who worked there behind the desk, they were like, "Hey, I just wanted to thank you. Like, you guys have been the nicest people I've talked to all day." And we were like, "That's not a good. That's
that
not
can't
good
be right.
Because yeah. I was we. This was the most average
this
conversation.
Was pretty, yeah, gray.
The most average conversation I've ever had in my life.
Sure.
And that was the kindest thing. We're the kindest people yeah. you've encountered.
Right.
And so on one hand, I think there's a couple of ways to look at it. On one hand, I do think that is very telling of just society right now. It's very telling. And also, you know, because we weren't like, we could have taken steps to be kinder, to be more encouraging. We could have, but just the fact that like what we've been immersed in for and pursuing now, Katie and I, for these years, it just becomes a natural way of just living,
right?
Of just being nice, being kind,
right?
You know, being respectful.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. It's frustrating to know yeah. that this much will make such a big difference in the society that
sure.
we live in. But it's also encouraging to know that, like, oh, just how we're functioning in everyday life.
Yeah.
On average, is.
And I think the way you find that culture, identity, language, way of doing things is by understanding your role and being a part of a family.
Sure.
And truly being a part of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it matters. Like, you know, as kind of a shout out, we had a group of our ladies in our church went on vacation together and
yep.
got up hours earlier than they had to and busted their butts to get back just to be at our grand opening service.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that type of stuff can almost bring you to tears because there's a group of people that would see not taking their time going for it to say like, we want to be in the presence of God when this thing goes off.
Right.
We want to be there when this thing opens up and it becomes what it's going to, mm-hmm. like that is a moment where you go like, man, someone sees the value of what they're a part of.
Yes.
It's amazing the amount of people that have seen that go to different churches or different things. And they're like, my God, it was incredible. And it was like, it's just because people are actually hungry and are worshiping. It's no different than where you are. Yeah. If people will do that where you are. Mm-hmm. The problem is most people are waiting for other people to take a step so that they can kind of just fall in line instead of being just hungry and just going for it.
Yeah.
And like to see people get hungry is the most incredible thing because it changes the whole culture, mm-hmm. everything around you.
Yeah. And I agree. I think just to encourage, you know, any of our people who are listening to this, like I know like you've been on this Kingdom Family thing for a while now mm-hmm. and we're not talking about it because we're not seeing any fruit. Like we're seeing this, a lot of people take right. hold of, you know, in yeah, our community, take hold
sure.
of what we're going after. And so just to encourage our people, like we don't keep talking about this because, you know, we think you guys are missing everything.
Yeah.
We're getting it.
No,
you,
yeah.
Like you guys are getting it.
And yeah, we're all that. Getting it. It's just, it's continuing the immersion of that
yeah.
to a deeper place because as people join into that, they will only go to the level that the rest of the family's at.
Yeah.
People only commit to the level the rest of the family is committed. And so that mm-hmm. requires a continuation of reexamining our responsibility and care that we have for our own Kingdom family and moving deeper and deeper into what that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And, you know, with a new building, we're going to have the nature of it. We're going to have visitors. We're going to have people come and check us out.
Yeah.
And I love kind of where you've been taking us in the sense of like asking the question, like what kind of people do we want to be experienced as when mm-hmm. people come into our home? And we want to be experienced as people who worship, as people who pray, as mm-hmm. people who are actively pursuing Jesus and, yes. and formation, you know?
Yep.
And yeah, we're seeing it. And mm-hmm. honestly, like seeing where we've come in just these past couple of years gets me really excited to think like what 5 years, 10 years from now,
oh man,
what could our family, our church family look like?
Right.
Because I almost feel like I try to think about that, and the Lord's like, you don't even know what you could, you know,
sure, yeah.
where you could go.
What a people group could do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. It's the end result is unknown.
Right.
The potential
yeah.
is limitless. Mm-hmm. It's how much of the Lord do people want, because all of this is about encountering Jesus. Mm-hmm. This really isn't about like just doing church and life together. That's important, but that's important because that's what Jesus has taught us, brings us to encounter in life with him. Mm-hmm. When we do life in union with others, we actually have life in union with him.
Right.
And so all this is about living in a union with him and encountering the face of the Lord. And that only comes through us deepening our union and immersion with each other.
Sure.
And you'll be amazed at the beauty of what you'll see out of that with the Lord mm-hmm. in your daily walk.
Yeah. Yeah, this isn't something that can be done alone.
Right.
This isn't something that can be, you know, and I think, yeah, I mean, I think there's all kinds of directions we could take that right now.
Yeah, we'll be here for 2.5 hours. I know.
But
trying to keep them short.
But yeah, you're right. That's, you know, this journey of formation, this journey of actively becoming like Jesus isn't one that there's no model for that. In isolation.
Right.
There's no model for how that works doing it alone, because it doesn't exist. You know, it happens when
when you do life all the way from the apostles till now, it's never changed.
Right.
The blueprint has not changed about deep, obsessive union with each other. Mm-hmm. It's just always going to be that.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's a sucky answer for people because they want something else.
Right.
But that's it. That's mm-hmm. the only way this really happens and really becomes something.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. All that to say, I think we have just unbelievable things to look forward to.
Yeah.
I think the Lord has, I feel in my spirit that there are just some like really, really amazing, even like surprises from the Lord coming. I feel like he's just got some things that are like,
I know,
like you guys think you know how good this is.
just wait.
Just keep coming after me. You're going to see just how sweet this can be.
I know. I, you know, I spend time a lot in my week reliving my history with the Lord, but I'm more excited about the things that are to come and to relive those moments of my history with him. You know what I mean? Of what's coming, and then be able to look back and go, I can't believe that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, there's this glory to glory thing. You know, Katie and I, when we reflect on the last 10 years of being married, it honestly feels like every single year is better than the previous year. And it just gets better and better and better.
Yep.
And that could be for different reasons. We're adding kids. We've gotten a home. Kate and I have learned to love each other better. Just for all these different reasons, things have been coming together to produce a greater experience over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And I just feel the same way for our kingdom family. I just feel that for various reasons, different pieces are going to be coming into place.
Right.
And
we're only 3 years old.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Sometimes it feels like we're 10 and we're not. And that's, you know, it's just wild to see how quick things are been moving and happening, and just, you know, the hand of the Lord and the presence we've been able to encounter, the real tangible presence we've encountered is just wild.
Yeah.
Very wild.
But yeah, I think we're very grateful for where we've been. And I think, you know, when I seek the Lord for what's to come, I only have expectation for glory to glory to glory to glory to glory.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. All because of you, Brian. All because of you, man.
What would you even do, man, without me?
What would any of us do without you? This whole thing runs on you, man. Runs on Hess Gas.
All right. Well, it was fun chatting.
Yeah. It's great getting to see you again. See you next week.
Exactly. Yeah. I know. I don't get to see you enough.
No, I know. Get together for a nice chin wag.
All right. Cool. Well, that is it for this episode. To all our listeners, thank you. And to all our watchers, we appreciate you guys, and we'll see you next time.